The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
It's one of those technically confusing days.
Yeah, when it's the simplest of things and you're overcomplicating it.
Just to fill everybody in. So there's something up with my computer. I'm like, what's going on? The Rode mic wasn't working. None of my files were there. So my immediate thought is like, oh my God, my computer just wiped itself clean. What do I got to do? No, I was just logged in as the wrong user.
You know, we were talking about on our, we have our car, our truck club message chat, and someone in Roulette said Eric's smarter than all of us.
Uh-huh.
Well, the funny thing is Eric calls me probably once every 2 weeks to ask me questions about his Apple computer because he's ready to throw it through the wall.
Everybody's smart in their own way.
That's what I was getting at, right? So
yeah,
we see each other. People will look at me and go, oh, you make videos. I could never do that. And then I look at them and I'm like, yeah, but you work on cars and I could never do that. Or you print t-shirts and I can't do that. Or what, you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's just funny. Like there's not that person that can do everything.
Yeah. Well, they always say like jack of all trade, masters at none. Like, you know, that like, I kind of feel like that sometimes too. Like I can do a lot of things, but I can't do them like really good. Like, I do a lot of like home repairs on my house.
Yeah.
One, because you know I'm cheap, so I'm just going to do it myself. But my mom is the opposite. She hires a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the floor in my house myself, did it, and it's fine. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty normal.
Yep.
But then you look at my mom's floor and you're like, there's definitely like that just little bit of extra.
My pavers are the same way.
Okay.
They're fine. And I'm like really proud of them. You know, same thing. I got my quote. It was too high. I was like, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
Like in reality, anyone can do anything. Mm. Like you could, if you were 25 years old, like you could be trained to hit a 90 mile an hour fastball.
Oh yeah.
It's going to take you a little while and you're not going to be able to be on a major league team, but you can do it.
Right.
I did the pavers once. I'm not going to do that for a living.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I kind of knew when it came to the grass, I was like, I'm probably just going to hire someone to do this.
Yeah.
You know? So there is that. Yeah. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Well, and also because like when you do something, okay. So like my profession is screen printing. So like if someone decided they were going to print their own t-shirts, there's a whole big learning curve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they can, you're right, they can do it. They could success, someone could successfully print a t-shirt from scratch with very little knowledge or a few YouTube videos. They can do it. But it's taken me 15 years to do little tiny tweaks to make it the end product that everybody expects. And that goes like, because I say I do a lot of work myself, but I do hire guys too. So like I had a painter come over and paint the back of the house. And I'm watching him and the finished product came out so nice. And I was watching him do the whole thing and like there's little things that he's learned over all these years that make his job easier and the end product better that I would have never thought of.
And the biggest thing is efficiency.
Yeah.
Your time, you know what I mean? Like your time is important. So if you hire someone and pay them three times the amount it would cost you to do it, but the time that it would have taken you to do that, you're making money doing something else.
Well, and on both ends too. So like it's efficient for me to pay someone to save my time, but it's also efficient for him to have figured out to do it the most you know, we're using efficient a lot, but you know, use the most efficient way to get the job done to move on to the next job to make the more money. So like, it's everybody's time.
That's going back. Remember what you were having problems with your printer, and you were talking about like, the printer costs X amount of money and I don't want to spend X amount of money, but that's your job.
Yeah.
Like you have to, like, I'm not going to go around and with my phone and even though I could, like, sometimes you do have to invest in yourself, even though that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to make that money back and you're going to make it faster. And so whatever's faster and easier to make, to get the job done quicker, if that's what you do for a living, it's not a bad investment. It's a sometimes it can be a scary investment. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you're just like, no, this is my job. Like, I have to do these things.
This is really like way out of pocket, but it makes a lot of sense here. I remember seeing this video on one of the social medias where this guy, he was like a tile layer, like he lays tile. So he brings home this tool and his wife, I don't think his wife was necessarily giving him a hard time about it, but you know, she was like, where'd you get that? And he's like, oh, they gave it to me. And she's like, no, they didn't, that you bought that. But there, it was a really interesting dynamic. Like I don't know these people from anything, but like there was this dynamic of like, he was afraid to tell her that he bought this tool, that she would like get upset. But then like, why not be like, hey man, this tool, like, I'm making more money with this, you know, that mentality.
Yeah. Anyway. It goes back to when I bought this computer. Or this is my third one or more than that, but like I had my original iMac, the same one that you have.
Yeah.
When I started to bump up and start doing more video jobs and it started to bottleneck me. So I bought another one and that one started to bottleneck me once I jumped up again and I got so frustrated and I wasn't wanting to edit videos. I wasn't, I was like, no, I don't even want to go in my office because I know I'm going to get frustrated. So it's like, I finally just said, I'm buying this one. And now, and then it changed my entire mentality. Like it just made me want to work more.
Right. Yeah. Which is funny. I just like, so for those watching, I dropped my Mini Nats video last Friday. And so go watch that if you haven't yet. And if you have watched it, thank you. Watch it again. No. And watch the whole thing, not just
the part that you're in it.
The part that you're
to
in
be
it.
Fair. To be fair. When we had that conversation, I then was in the middle of watching your video. Or I hadn't, and I went to watch your video. And I go, now I understand why he said that.
Because it's really long?
Because the beginning part, there is like, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's very... That was more about like you and your thing, and you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it. To be fair,
and then we do have to circle back to that video too because I do to ask you a question about it. But
hold on, let me just knock this out. We can go right into that video, but let me knock this out because I had the reverse working on that video. I had the reverse of what happened to you. So like we're on the pursuit of like better video, 4K video, you know, larger files, and that's just forced you to upgrade all of your equipment. So I kind of like had a taste of that because I had recorded all that pocket footage in that video in 4K. So I had to, and I did it before another video where I like made proxies, but that's way in the mud. But it did slow down my computer a lot, and it was frustrating enough to the point where I got back to my 1080, and it was so much smoother. It was like boom, 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 boom. So I could see how like you move forward. I regress a little bit, but I could know that what I'm saying is I can know that satisfaction of the workflow speeding up and just very smoothly coming
together. Yeah, it makes you get back into it and you're just like, okay, because if you're sitting there waiting for something, like the mood goes away.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, what about my video? You loved it. It's one of the best of the year. Yeah, you could shower me with all the.
What is so? Hold on, real quick. Your sound is weird.
Oh, my sound is weird.
Yeah, because it's like you're not talking through the mic on your settings on your computer. Like, is your input sound through the mic or what is it through?
I think it's through here. Check. Is it here? Back to our normal schedule. Everything is fine. Levels are fine. I'm fine. You're fine.
Yes.
We're all fine. Yeah. So anyway, so my video, you said you had some questions about it.
Yes.
Hit me.
Were you in a mood when you edited that song to Us Skipping Rocks? What mood were you in right there?
So
were you reminiscent mood? Was it like where were you at there?
Okay. First of all, let me start with this. Did you like it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, I could pick it apart, but I could pick my videos apart too.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. So when we did that, during that, says I'm always like, my brain is always like thinking and like planning stuff. So as that's unfolding in front of me, I'm trying to be in the moment, be present, but I'm also thinking like, how is this going to edit?
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, even in that moment, there's that song that goes sitting on the dock by the bay. Yeah. That was the song I had in my head as we were doing that. I'm like, that is that song. Well, I'm not going to use that song obviously. Yeah. Cause so I went, I searched for a song. And I looked up bluegrass country music, so I'm like listening to different songs, and I came up on this song. It was really great. The guitar was great, the beat was great. It really felt good. So I put it in there, started editing. I really didn't listen to the lyrics until I like really started editing it, and then it was a love song. And if I had kept that one, it would have been a song. Like we're on this weird date, confessing our love for each other.
We're just taking Lindsay up to the great Smoky Mountains on this romantic trip.
So I was like, okay, hold on. That's not going to work. So then I pulled that off, which I should send you that song so you could listen to it. And then you would understand the hilarity, yeah. Like just match those two things together. So I found this other song. Again, the lyrics were very like those songs that I picked out. Cause like I always listen to the beat and then like the tone and the cadence of the song. I'm not really listening to the lyrics. A lot of those songs are like love songs. If you like listen to them, there are a lot of love songs. And even the one that I picked out is like it's actually like a story about like friendship. And it actually really fit because the lyrics talk about, you know, you're in a bad place. Well, come with us. We're going to make you kind of happy. And it kind of all fit. And it was very like, emotional. It was very like.
It threw me off.
It's out of left field.
But it threw me off. I'm not trying to be mean. In a weird way, like it wasn't vibing with that entire scene.
Oh, you didn't? You don't think so?
No, not at all. It was the complete opposite to me. I was like,
oh,
it confused me. I was like,
oh,
what? Because it wasn't bluegrassy or anything.
No, I know.
It felt very like.
So I showed it to my kid.
Yeah,
and she was like. It feels like summer camp. And I was like,
oh, you want to know what it felt to me?
Yeah.
It felt like this. That was the last thing you were ever going to make. I was like, what's Frank going through right there? That's why I wanted to ask you. Cause I will go through emotional things.
God, that's hilarious. Dude.
Cause I will go through emotional things and they will come out in my videos sometimes.
Right. Same. Yeah. Same.
So that I was like,
the case.
I was like, what? I just pictured
the,
you.
The last
I just
ever,
pictured you late at night, just editing
drunk.
Some beers. And you're just like, so emotional. Then you're just like watching this and you're just like, I was laughing while I was like, how am I going to talk to Frank without being mean about this? But it's not mean. It's just the way that
mean.
I picture it.
Yeah. And I get it. I wonder how many people.
Have made like that. Plenty of videos where I go back and listen to this music and I go, what in the hell? Not saying you're going to do that. If you like it, you like it. Mm-hmm. But I have like, even my most recent LST video, I went back and I was like, oh, these songs are kind of sad. And like they were a little bit the mood didn't match the footage a little bit, and it might have to me at the time it did. Like I was like, but yeah.
So what kind of like what would you suggest for that kind of vibe for that part of the video?
What would I have done?
Yeah.
I would have done a lot more of you know how you cut to like when we were talking and you brought the music down.
Mm-hmm.
I would have almost done more of that because you like more talking and more of like natural sounds, like a half and half.
Oh, okay.
You know, because there was so much in interaction there,
mm-hmm.
like laughing and like all that stuff. I would have kept no lyrics and it would have just been like
just a music.
And then you hear us even like when we're driving, like pretend you're driving through the, you know, that road and you don't see us, but you could still hear us talking in the truck.
Oh, that's a good
type
idea.
Of thing. Because you kind of did. You made this like since you stretched yours out longer, the trip.
Mm-hmm.
You were trying to show like us having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely because, you know, a lot of the times we get kind of like, or me personally, I kind of like get stuck in this repetitiveness of show coverage, you know? So I was like, well, this is, we had a lot of footage, like a lot of interesting things happened. So I was like, this is a good opportunity to like, to do this. So
yeah, I would have went in and just picked out more of like 2 seconds of if Lindsay said something or if I said something or if you said something. And then just kind of like music in like that, just so it shows, it did show us, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's how I looked at it.
Cause I got a lot of compliments on the music, but maybe more the show coverage music. One person said that they appreciated that type of music. Cause a lot of edits tend to use like very like harsh music, like, you know, like maybe some hard rap or something, or like a lot of like cursing or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like that show. I always try to go cause like, there's a lot of like, you know, 90s influence in a lot of those trucks, so I always try to go with like more like a synth pop kind of like sound, you know. So
but you have to remember you're in the hills of North Carolina,
right
so if you were like on the coast of California, just because you're filming a certain type of vehicle, sometimes you need the mood of the surroundings, not just what you're filming. You know, so not in, I didn't know any of the other music. I was just I didn't it didn't strike me as odd on any of the other music. It was just that one. When it came on, I was like, wait, what's going on here? It was very confusing to me, and maybe because I was there.
Maybe.
Because I was there, and I felt like we had a good time. And that song didn't make me feel like we had a good time. It made me feel like that was the last time we were all going to hang out. And I don't know. That's just, again, personal. Because I edit, and I look for different kinds of music, and I struggle with music. So I always, it's interests me when other people, why they choose their music that they
right.
do.
Right. Yeah. So, well, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
It's not, I'm not saying it was wrong, not saying it was bad, not saying anything.
That was
I'm
just how you felt.
That how, when I saw that, well, that's how I felt.
That's how you felt.
Yeah.
I'm very, I would be very curious. Please let me know how everybody else felt. Cause like people, the people watch this podcast usually watch the videos. So yeah. And they comment on these videos as well. So tell me like, how did everybody feel?
I get dude, crapped on for my music choices sometimes. In the comments, people will be like, that video was sick, but I had to stop watching it cause of the music. And I'm just like, thanks, man. Well,
that's rude.
Yeah. Well, I always ask them, well, what would you choose?
Yeah.
And sometimes they go, I didn't know you were going to reply, man. I was just kidding. it was good. Maybe this. And I'm just like, because I think like
the rest of the, okay, take that away.
Yeah.
I thought the rest was good. I really liked, I really felt good about on this video, the show coverage and everything. Like, I felt like I really kind of mixed that well. When it's not like, you know, 30 clips of just panning cars, I basically split it up into three parts, which was, you know, like day, night, day, you know, day beginning a show, night, second day end a show kind of thing. And I felt like I did a good job by kind of like blending that all together. So you're not, didn't fall in this rut of just
panning. The shots were really good. Okay, the best shot,
thanks.
The shot that when it happened and I was like, oh shit, that's sick, was the Datsun 510, the close up of the front wheel.
Oh yeah, that was a good
one. That one, I was like, oh, that's the best shot in this whole thing.
Well, and you know what's interesting is like, we were so hyped about Pocket. We're so hyped about Pocket stuff, and the Pocket does great for certain things, but again, it's like when you get in a repetitive thing, you have to break out to do something to appreciate what you were doing before.
Yeah.
And so like, I was getting so bored of all those shots. And then I got the Pocket. I got like a little, you know, I got to mess around with Pocket stuff. But then when I went back to those shots, it felt so good to get back to do those creative shots. I zoomed in like tight. And like, and what I kind of broke myself out of was, I would do like how I would normally film a vehicle is I'd show the truck, show a wheel, show the paint, show the interior. Well, I realized I don't need to show the whole truck. Like if the most interesting thing on the truck is like the paint, then I just got to show the paint, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have to, like, it was almost like I had to, was like trying to explain it. Like, look at this cool paint. Oh, and it's on this truck.
Yeah. You got to be careful with that. Cause you can't do it too much.
Yeah. Because it's got to be peppered for sure.
Yeah. It's hard. Cause I've done that too, where I'm like, why didn't I get, I didn't like the interior will be sick and I didn't get the rest of the truck. And I go, this is going to be confusing because it's the interior. And then I show another vehicle and then it does, but that's just me.
Yeah.
As a person editing the viewer, it's a completely different thing to the viewer because
they're just,
they don't know. It's just entertainment to them.
Right. another thing that worked out pretty well of the way it all came together was, so we went to LST, then we had Forbidden, and then we went to Mini Nets.
I like this, where you're going with this.
Okay, well,
I felt like even though the gaps were there,
uh-huh,
you're telling a storyline of like the year, your year.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but
okay, sorry.
I appreciate that. Yeah. No, what I was going to say was I messed up at Forbidden because I didn't film Zach's Mazda.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, man, that is really bad. If I drop this video and it's not there. So that, and I knew that after Forbidden, I realized it after the show. So when I went to Mini-Nats and I saw it, I was like, okay, this is my opportunity to really get in the weeds on this thing. So I'm glad I was able to show that first. And then when the Forbidden video comes out and it's not there, then it's not like, hey, what happened?
It would be funny if you stopped the Forbidden video in the middle and go, hey, Zach, because he watches everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Zach, I am kind of a piece of crap, and for some reason, I did not film your truck. So here is a clip of it from this event, and put it in there, and then it goes back to the thing. Yeah,
that'd be funny. Yeah, that'd be really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you were saying like taking it out of like chronological order and just sort of like...
Just the continuation, because you like to be continued on the Havasu video, and then you picked it back up. And then at the end of the Mini Nats video, you to be continued it there.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
But that's actually going to be for Cruise of the Pines.
Yes, exactly.
So that's going to lead us into that one. Yeah. And then Forbidden, because like Forbidden, this is sounds weird, but it's not really... Going to Forbidden is not an adventure.
Yeah.
It's just the show is the adventure. Yes. So, you know, when we went to Havasu and Mini Nats and even Cruise of the Pines, there's an adventure getting to each one of those things.
Yeah.
Where Forbidden, I can plug in at any time. It doesn't really matter because... Even out of context, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So I was thinking.
Yeah. No, it's cool. What's your next one now? Forbidden?
No, Cruise of the Pines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cruise of the Pines and then Forbidden. And then I'll start getting into the later year shows that we did.
Do you want to hear my funny edit adventure that I did this that I've been trying to? So I've been trying to catch up on edits because I've been kind of behind. So I had this Japanese footage from.
Japanese footage.
Yeah, from Shingo show, the Custom Trucks Mag show.
Oh, okay. Oh, he wanted you to make a video of that?
Yeah, so he had our buddy in Japan, Japanese mini truck. Yep. He filmed for me to and then gave me the footage. Mm-hmm. And this was in 2023.
Oh, wow.
And I never got to it.
Oh, man.
So Shingo was like, hey, I'm going to send you 2024. I was like, yeah, send it to me. I promise I'll edit it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay. So... I finally took the footage, put it on my computer, and I was like, I'm not doing anything until I edit this footage. So I edited the video. It's like 7.5 minutes. It's really cool trucks. And it wasn't my footage. So it was kind of weird. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, but like it all worked out. And I get the thumbnail done. I send it to Shingo and he goes, I love it. He goes, but that's 2023.
Oh no.
So,
oh my gosh, dude.
I go, well, where the heck is the 2024 footage? So I went to a different hard drive and I had saved it to a different hard drive. So now I have all, this entire edited 2023 video and I have not touched the 20. So I go.
So he has two videos.
So he has in one. So it starts out, it's 2023.
Uh-huh.
And luckily I did do this because the 2024 show got a lot of rain. So there wasn't a lot of footage.
Mm.
So it goes, it's like 7.5 minutes of 2023 and 2 minutes of 2024.
Oh, and so it worked out.
That video should be it'll be up but when this is up. But
forgive me. So does Shingo have a YouTube channel?
No, or are you Shingo putting it on? Shingo has a magazine.
No, I know, but like, is this video going on?
This is going on the Grinder TV channel.
The Grinder TV. Okay, I see. Yeah. I didn't know if you were editing this and he also had a YouTube
channel. Oh, no. Shingo has a magazine. No. That like a job. He was like, no, this is, he just wanted it on the Grinder TV channel.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Shingo runs a magazine. Anyway.
He does not.
I don't know what he does.
He's in our club. Yeah, so that was my interest. It was so funny because I sat there and I go, I was just like, you know what? Screw it. Usually I want everything to be kind of, I'm not perfect, but like I want it to make sense. Like, but I'm like, nope, this is just, it is what it is. It's both shows.
Yeah.
So
I kind of, I took in this video, a little insider thing here that I did. I'm trying to be better at, and this kind of goes into the next thing that I want to discuss about that video. I don't want to like settle for things anymore. I want to like make them how I want them to be. Mm-hmm. And so like I edited that video, and then I had in the last like minute or so in the video, like I'm editing, cause like I edit in sort of like a chronological order of mm-hmm. what I filmed. Right. So I'm just going through just do, because it was a long time ago. I forgot exactly what and where and how I filmed it. So I'm going through this thing, and then I get to a part where I have this huge chunk of Oliver's truck, the stranger, and Zach's truck. And I'm at the end of my video, and I'm like, well, dang it. So like I started like laying it out. I'm like, this is not right. These trucks need to be featured first, mm-hmm. and then we can get to the rest of stuff. Like they shouldn't be like an afterthought on the end of the video. Yeah. So I stopped. I just start all over again, move stuff around, and but like, so what I mean is like I'm trying to be better at like doing that, because like I could just be like, yeah, just throw them at the end.
Oh, you know? yeah you're better at just like waiting and going, no, this I need it to make it, I need to make this the way I it should be,
exactly. Yeah. the way it should be. Yeah. Yeah, so I did that, and then so like that, so I uploaded the video yesterday, and I went through a whole bunch of stuff because I was mixing my pocket footage and my Canon footage, and I ran into a problem with the pocket footage. And I didn't realize at the time. So I filmed everything on the pocket in 4K and everything on my Canon in 1080, because my Canon can't do 4K. So I had these big, huge 4K files, and I brought them into a 1080. And this is kind of in the weeds, I understand, but it'll make sense here in a second. So I brought them into my 1080, and I had to shrink them down to make them fit like that. And I asked you, I said, that's like the right way to handle these clips.
Yeah. Right? You put them in, and if you dropped it on the timeline, it would be a big, it would be like,
it's huge. It's like zoomed in.
Yeah. So yeah, you go to scale and you bring it to 50.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I did. Yeah. Got all of them lined up and, rendered the video, had my final product. Everything looked good. I watched it over and over and over. Everything looks good. Well, then I upload it to YouTube, and then there's a few clips from the pocket footage that looked very weird. They like, it looked pixelated. It looked like it was like filmed in like 720 or lower. It was just like not great. So I'm like beating my head against the wall trying to figure it out. And also, again, this is where I'm trying to apply that kind of like thinking about like, you know, wanting it to be correct. Mm-hmm. So I uploaded it. It was live. It had about 13 views on it before I was like, this isn't right. So I pulled it back down, contacted you, you know, we're like kind of talking about it, trying to figure it out. Ended up like, I think what we settled on is like, that footage was like that. Something happened in that footage, because yeah. It was nothing I was doing in my editing. It was nothing I was doing in the rendering or the uploading. Basically, it was out of my control. It just sort of is.
Yeah. You know?
So
when you when you say rendering, you mean exporting, right?
Exporting. Yeah. Sorry.
So I say exporting and other people say rendering. I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to say it. I just don't. I didn't know if you rendered and then exported, because you can render.
Render in the timeline and then.
Yeah.
I meant export.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess export is the correct term, because
It renders and exports, right? It renders and then exports. I don't know I don't know what I'm talking about. I just was like, are we talking about the same thing? Okay.
Yeah. So what I found. So yeah. So we did that. So I uploaded it. Yeah. If you pay real close, and then again, this is all like looking through like what's the right word? Like just focus.
No one else will see it except you.
No one cares. Like they'll watch that and they won't even notice. But you know, it's just one of those things where I do the same thing with shirts. I get like, oh man, that little thing looks weird. Like no one cares about that little thing. Yeah. Just print the t-shirt.
Probably more important. It's more important in that aspect than the video aspect, though.
Sometimes not,
because
really.
No one's paying for the video. They're paying for those t-shirts.
Right. But at the end of the day, like I it took me a long time to teach myself this, because I used to get like upset.
Oh, like what's important and what's not important?
Exactly. Yeah. So like, okay, you know, these two little things are just slightly off. But I'm looking at it under a microscope. No one's, when people look at shirts, they go, yeah, man, it looks great.
Yeah. Except you know, for you.
Except, well, yeah, no.
When I'm, you, because, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's just because that's my trade, so to speak.
But
so
some people do, remember that, like the hats, like the embroidery?
Mm-hmm.
There's certain companies that don't pay attention to the quality control of their embroidery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a line. Like, I'm not going to let complete junk go out the door, but I'm also not going to beat myself up if something is minorly wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that if I don't point it out, no one will ever know.
See. Yeah, that's true.
You know, so that's more what I'm talking about.
Chelsea does that with her cookies.
She looks at them like,
so hard on herself. She's like, I hate these. She scraped off She did these Hello Kitty ones, uh-huh. and she scraped off the whole design on the top and redid them.
Really?
Yeah, she's super hard on herself, and they look fine. But it's a good thing though, because she like.
Like you have to ride a line. Like yes. you don't want to be careless.
Yes.
But you don't, because if you, because what I've learned is if I hyper focus on that stuff, it's counterproductive.
Yeah.
Because now I'm spending hours. Mm-hmm. Like a good example is, and I know we're going off track here a little bit, but a good example is like when you register something. So like if I register two colors, like I have a white base and a yellow overtop. If I can see a half a pixel worth of white, it's going to be fine. You know, like, but there was a point where I would like sit there for hours moving it. And then what I realized finally is if I hyper-focus on this one and I move this, this one's going to come off.
Yeah.
And then, so I'll spend hours.
You're just chasing it. You're just chasing it
and you're wasting time.
Yeah.
You know,
It goes back to the time thing.
I'm now costing myself money because I'm hyper-focused on this one thing that it's fine. Because, yeah. I know this is not maybe a good way to look at things, but it is, like, I'll look at other screen printer stuff and I'm like, they're fine with it.
So, same thing with me and videos. Someone I know made a video recently for someone else I know. And the guy sent me the video and he goes, this is the final product after X amount of hours, after this and this. And I was like, oh, I didn't say anything. The other person said, he was not happy with it. And then he asked, and I said, yeah, I wouldn't either. And mm-hmm. it just like solidified this thing. And I was like, okay, well, I do a pretty good job. You know what I mean? Cause sometimes you doubt yourself a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you'll see other people's work and you're like, oh, they're so good. I'll see like Joel, you know, J. Cole from Switch. And I'm like, he's mm-hmm. so good. Yeah. And then sometimes, and then I'll see someone, I'm so good. And then you kind of like look at your stuff and you're just like, eh. And then I have to relook at my stuff sometimes. And I'm just like, no, I am good at this. You know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. it's an interesting thing. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when you're doing things like this for work.
Yeah. So anyway, so the final thought on the video was, remember you were talking about how there's a 1080 premium.
Yeah.
And so we went through all this thing of like trying to figure out what was wrong with this video, going right back into the weeds in the editing all the way up to the uploading. So if you on your own channel, you can preview it in the premium 1080p.
Oh.
I found out you can't go, like I don't have YouTube premium. Yeah. So if I go to a regular video and I try to click that option, it says, hey man, for $11 a month, you can watch it in 1080p.
Yeah.
But on your own channel, you can watch your own stuff in that premium thing.
Oh, okay.
I switched it to that, gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fine.
So That's what it is.
It is. It's YouTube. Remember
that video I sent you? And at the very beginning, he's like, it's taking away. So where your eye is focused on the center, it's taking mm-hmm. away information on the side to bring down the size of that video.
Exactly.
That's what it did.
And as soon as I clicked over to that, it went away.
Yeah. Because it was moving so fast and there was mm-hmm. it was leaves. Mm-hmm. And
the road. Well, my thing was like the road. The road was like changing colors and it was just doing all these weird things.
It's because it was moving so fast, right?
I think the algorithm is deciding what bit rate to upload these videos at and what parts to lower the bit rate on.
Yeah.
I think it's things that move fast, dark things like blacks and darker colors. Like they're finding all these little things where they can save.
So you could, regardless if you had YouTube Premium yourself or not, you can't, it doesn't matter because the viewer is going to see it and whatever they.
Exactly.
So say you had YouTube Premium and I don't.
We get two different experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's YouTube's fault.
No, that's you should just film in 4K.
There
is no 4K. No, you exported in 1080. Export in 4K. There's no 4K. It's just 4K, 4K. They haven't gone to that premium.
Do you upload all your videos in 4K?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you had it on 4K timelines. And that's what you're talking about. That's where you went down the whole path.
Yeah.
Of like figuring that out to
yeah.
To
well, even editing on some things like, remember I was using the GoPro for vlogging mm-hmm. and stuff. So GoPro footage, even pocket footage, drone footage. Yes, it's in this 4K or whatever, but it's such a compressed mm-hmm. because you're talking about prosumer stuff right here. You're talking about like your average Joe Blow going out and buying this thing, and you're same with your phone footage, okay? It's, and you're just like, oh, 4K. But nobody want no consumer, regular consumer wants to deal with huge file sizes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they have to figure out a way to get the quality of the 4K, the size of the 4K, with the least amount of information in there.
Right.
So the file sizes are super compressed, which strains your computer. So if I took some raw 4K footage from my Sony camera and put it on my 4K timeline and hit space, it's going to play it super smooth. Mm-hmm. If I put compressed 4K from a GoPro on my timeline and hit play, it's not this computer, but the one before this,
right,
it'll be choppy. Because it's imagine you're trying to you have all this information in this tiny little file and you're trying to squeeze through it, where a big file, it's all opened up so you can maneuver through it, you know?
That makes and you would actually think the opposite. You would think the opposite, that the smaller compressed files work better, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. They work fine in when you're editing on your phone or when you're these certain things, but yeah, it's a thing.
So I just thought I'd finish that conversation with that I figured that out.
After all adventure. After 38 minutes of talking, the final is I figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that's life in general. Yeah. Everything's fine. But
fine, and you finally got the video out. How do you feel about getting that behind you?
Oh, I feel really good. Yeah. I feel really good. And I'm glad it took this amount of time to come together. Sans a little weird music choice. I really like it. I really vibed with it. I felt like it was good. It all kind of came together. I thought I told the complete story of what happened, you know. So
yeah.
I liked it. I really
did
liked
it. So the beginning, okay, we're gonna go back to this now. Okay. Your intro, whereas mine was very short and yours was more long and drawn out. Mm-hmm. Did you, as you were editing it, were you like, I wish I would have filmed this, I wish I would have done this, I wish I would have done this. Yeah. So next time you have a longer intro, you can actually fill it with more things, because that it was long, and I felt like there was much more that happened that you could have put in there to make the story more interesting for the viewer.
Yeah, because if you go back and watch the very beginning, the first part where it's us from your house to Maggie Valley.
Yeah.
I really because I try to emulate you in this, because you're really, really good at it. You can tell a very complete story in a minute.
Yeah, but I'm fast, it makes fast, sense. Fast.
Yeah,
fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Fast. So that's why in the beginning I did that.
Yeah.
But
this is how I'm going to put it. Me as a viewer of your video, you as a viewer of my video enjoyed the short intro that I made.
Yeah.
You're like, that's cool. Me as a viewer of your video enjoyed it because I was there. I think as a viewer of your video, if I wasn't there, I would want you to talk more. I would want you to say, you know, a little bit of music and be like, you know, tell me because you're telling a story. Mm-hmm. You as Frank, as a person, is telling the story, where I'm not telling the story as Brian. Mm-hmm. I'm telling the story as just these clips. Boom, 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 boom. But it would be cool. That's what I was talking about when you did the interviews. Mm-hmm. I want to know which car's Frank like there. Remember the S10 with the alien on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, usually I don't really like stuff like that, but I really like that.
That's when I should have.
You should have, as told your viewers, walked up and found that guy and been like, hey, why did you do this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's getting into your brain.
Yeah.
And you go to these shows and you do all this stuff, but we as viewers of your channel want to know what interests you and why you do it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I could and I like that. I like doing that. Again, I was still trying to find, because I kind of got my toes wet at LST with one. I kind of got my whole foot in, you know, at Mini Nats. But I do like doing those.
Yeah.
But I've now, again, like you said, making the video, what did I wish I went back and did? I wish I would have asked more specific questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And asked the person who I'm talking to say it in a certain way. And like I was telling you, be more directorial, you know?
Yeah.
I need you to say it like this.
Yeah, yeah. And answer what I learned, because I learned that, what I was talking about, because I do the TCI, Total Cost Involved Chassis Company. Mm-hmm. So I'll do their videos for them. And I used to go to SEMA and have to do 5 or 6 videos in a day. And I would just have my list of questions. And I would set up my camera, point at them, and I go, tell me your name. And they would tell me the name. Tell me the vehicle, your make and model. Tell me the wheels. Tell me this. And then at the very end of that, okay, now tell me why you built it. Mm-hmm. So if you ask those same set of questions, you know, then you can edit it in a way you can manipulate it. But what I was going to say is the Pocket allowed you to, before you would have to go like, get a tripod, set the camera on it, get a mic, do all this stuff and da da da. And the Pocket has allowed you to get very high quality audio super quick. It's like, yeah, click, talk, done.
Yeah.
And you could do one of those in 5 minutes. Whereas before it was like doing all the stuff and then syncing it in post and doing it. It's like, now it makes it like, it makes you want to do it more.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. And that's one thing I love about the Pocket, because like, duh, it's in the name, it fits in my pocket. Yep. So I can walk around with my gimbal and my camera and do this. And then like, I struggled with that for a little while, trying to vlog and do it, you know, carrying around the big camera and blah, blah, yeah, blah. But now it's just like, okay, oh, now I want to say something. So I'm like, yeah, I'm applying all these things, you know?
Yeah. Well, just ease of use. Like, you could be like, hey, I'm going to meet the owner of the Alien S10 at 2:00. And it's just like, you just have to run from the booth, and in 5 minutes you can have an interview.
Yeah.
Like,
and
you don't have
to make the video that much better.
Yeah. You don't have to like be gone for an hour to do this. It's just like 5 minutes with good audio and all that stuff. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, I'm excited.
What I'm trying to say is making things easier will make them better. And what you did by you having the Pocket, it made everything easier. And now you could like, you can explore this whole other thing.
Well, it was like we talked about last week about even the fixing the gas in the 4Runner. You want the least path of resistance to what you want, you know? Yeah. Like, it makes it way easier.
that goes right into what I did all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Do
you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Was there anything else we were going to talk about?
No. I have another thing, but it's not even that big a deal.
Well, we got the front end kit all installed on
Tacoma. Dude. Like that story that you posted when it was just kind of like, it looks so cool.
Oh, yeah. It's, so I got there. So that truck was bagged by, Sean Thurman Suspension Dimension years ago. Mm-hmm. And on Tacomas, you want to strap the front frame. So he took like 1/4-inch plate, put it against the frame, welded it, and then plug welded it and all this stuff. But that kit, you can't do that. You have to take all that off.
Oh,
so the kit is meant to go against the stock frame.
Oh,
so there was a 1/4-inch gap.
Oh,
so because there was a plated steel on the stock frame, so Panda had to go through and cut 1/4-inch steel off of the frame before even getting started. So that was fun.
Was he able to cut it off and then maintain the stock frame behind it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just
very
took
carefully
a grinder,
cut the welds.
Yeah, cut the welds, mm-hmm. and then
that was time consuming.
It was a lot. It was very time consuming, but. We got the entire kit on. The entire kit's there.
Oh,
so
nice.
Like, and it's not a kit where this bolts on. Like,
mm-hmm. It still like takes some fabrication involved to get it on there.
Yeah. We didn't even use so I bought a cross member where you take the front cross member off of the Tacoma and you put this custom cross member on, and then that's where the bars from the bottom A-arms go. I forgot what they're called. But he couldn't use it. Because my truck's too low, so it would sit on that. So we had to make custom mounts. Like, I'm going to... I don't know if the video won't be up before this, but...
Oh, okay.
It'll be up because I still have to go back and film some more. But yeah, so you'll see all of this in that video.
That's cool.
Yeah. But
yeah,
it was...
very exciting.
It made me appreciate... Like, it took almost like a final form. Whereas before, when I looked at the front, it had that stock suspension on there, and it was like... And then you look at this and it just took like a final form. Like it's now it's coming to completion.
Okay.
Where before seeing the stock A arms and all that stuff, it was just kind of like, it'll work. But now it's like, okay, now this is all coming together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like not necessarily in the final stretch because you still have a bit to do, but you're getting there. Like you can see it. You can see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Which I mean, that was like that for even back last year at Chubb's. I mean, it being complete in one thing, like it already was on that kind of like track to being done. But now like it's mechanically getting there.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
For anyone listening, if you are ever in the market for a truck, any kind of truck, I always say it's good to get something that's already like bagged and body dropped because you're going to save yourself a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. But make sure that son of a bitch
is good.
And I'm not saying that mine was wrong.
Right.
But mine would have been like the way Sean bagged it was perfectly fine for 18s.
Right.
Back in the day, 17s. But when you step up to the wheel size, like, so if you are buying an old build and it was built for 17s and then you're going to throw 20s on it, changes the game.
Yeah. Changes for sure. There's a reason why it was built on those wheels.
Yeah. And so like so I would have saved myself a lot of money if I would have just brought Panda a stock Tacoma.
Yeah, it is like that sometimes. Yeah. But like you said, it's like I was talking about too, like a lot of guys, not a lot of guys, there are some people, not guys specifically, there are some people who buy trucks with the idea that they want to change them for themselves. Well, then start with a stock truck. Like when you're buying these trucks already done, you have to sort of like, to some degree, accept how they are. So
or if you're going to do that, just make sure like the suspension and the body drop are done right.
Right.
Because you could change the paint, you can do all that stuff, but you don't want to be having to redo a bunch of work from what it was before.
Right. Especially if it works. Like if you buy a truck and it works, it's built well and it works.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you're right. Like interior paint, stereos.
Because my truck
works. That stuff is pretty like aesthetic, but mechanically and fabrication wise, when you're buying that, you're kind of already like you're getting what you get.
Yeah. Kind of. And my truck would have worked. Like, I'm not saying that the work that we took off wasn't. Also, that's the third time that the front's been bagged. Sean Thurman bagged the front. And again, it worked. There was nothing wrong with it. In fact, what Sean did with the 4-link back in the day, when I bought that truck back from the guy I sold it to in New Mexico, the work that was on it, I would have just put that truck back together.
You would have had a truck for a long time.
I would have been driving it and enjoying it. But no, I wanted to update this and do that. There's so many variables in this. And again, it goes back to time and efficiency and money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should I have just been like, nope, I'm going to go buy a $5,000 stock Tacoma and go from there?
Couple questions.
Yeah.
two main questions.
Yeah.
Last week you said... you're not worried, but you have a thought in your brain that once you get this thing done, you're going to be okay. That's completed. Moving on to the next one.
Yeah.
You're also very heavily invested in this truck.
Yes.
What? You don't have to tell me a price, but is there going to be a point where you're like, I can't get what I have invested in this?
I already can't.
All right. I'm just
times 10. Sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the most I could get, like, say I finished the truck and painted it and did interior and stuff. I mean, what's the most that you can get for a standard cab Tacoma? 15,
17? Wow, I was thinking higher than that.
20? I don't know.
I
haven't been in the market for I haven't looked at what they're going for. I know, like, if you have a dope extra cab, you know.
What's that noise?
It's the trash truck behind me. He's grabbing the trash real quick.
Just a little trash.
Yeah, I forgot the window's open, too.
Oh, it's extra loud.
Yes, and he's just shaking the crap out of it right now. He knows we're recording a podcast. He's just... Oh, now he's doing the neighbor, which is right next door. See,
it's pretty funny.
These are things you don't even have to ever deal with, huh? Your trash is far away from
you. You know, it's funny. Well, since we got
I can't even hear you. Hold on. All right, he's gone.
Okay. When we take out our trash, it is the equivalent of probably walking 3 houses.
Yeah. No, I was there one night when you took it out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You, like, put a coat on. You're like, we're going on an adventure.
Yeah, we're going on an adventure. And I use the old farm truck. I have this like bracket that goes on the back and I can put the trash cans on it and I drive them up to the front. Anyway, trash. Back to the Tacoma. Yeah. Well, because like I guess a kind of like not a good example, but something that's out there currently is Old Man Dave. Mm. He kind of floated it out there with the Mazda selling it. And he said it's going to be $25,000 for that truck. Is a early 90s B series Mazda worth $25,000, even if it's all done?
I don't know because what I'm going to pay for something ain't going to be what someone else is going to pay
for something.
Some other people have more money than I do or less money than I do. It is what it is. Now, I'm not going to sell the Tacoma. Like, I'm not going to get it done and then sell it.
No, yeah, no, you want
to. Now, maybe later.
Yeah. You got to, well, maybe. That's why this is like a thing. I was just kind of going off of what you said last week when you're like, am I going to get there, drive it, and be like, all right.
$5,000. Who wants to come buy it? I put $1 million into it. Yeah. No, this is a very terrible financial decision in a finance-wise.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but it is under different sort of circumstances.
100%. This is... I'm doing it. There's two other motives here, mm-hmm. right? There's my motive, Brian finishing something that he started. Mm-hmm. So I need to look. I want to follow that through. I want to have follow through. I didn't have that years ago, and I have it now. So I want to make sure this is done. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure I talk a big game. I talk a lot of crap to our club members, my friends, you know what I mean? Like, so I can't, you can't talk crap and not back it up.
Yeah.
You can't be the president of a mini truck club, which I was forever with no mini truck.
Right.
You know what I mean? I only got away with that because I was playing I started my own business on poor card.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. But that can only last for so long. Like you can't play a role without being also part of it. Mm-hmm. So like there's that. And then, which that has nothing, that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, that only makes sense to me in my brain. It makes me feel right about things. And then the other motive is business.
Mm-hmm. Right? Creating content.
This is creating content. It's mm-hmm. my business. So I'm going to create content. People come up to the booth. They watch the content. They come up to the booth and they're just like, man, I love the Tacoma build. Like when people come up and say that, it's worth more than any amount of views.
Oh, for sure.
You know, these videos, they don't get very many views. You know, ask Ben. You know what I mean? Me and Ben have this conversation all the time. His video might get 700 views, but he goes to a mini truck show and people are just like,
they're stoked.
They're stoked about it. So mm-hmm. that is more important than the amount of views.
Right. But well, and also, sorry, just to clarify or just to touch on one thing, it is kind of like the long game because the views are one thing, whatever, but people coming up to the booth saying that stuff and also purchasing merch, that's where the whole thing collides together there. In that moment, when someone's sitting at home watching your video, they watch a video, they like it, they go through the whole hassle of getting to the show and spending their money to get to the show and setting up and going, spending their time, and then for them to now come up to the booth and say nice things to you and ultimately buy a t-shirt, like that's where mm-hmm. all this, the effort collides together on both ends, you know?
Yeah, because if you want people to invest in you, then you have to do things.
That's what I'm saying. So like it, like you're taking the time and effort and money to create this thing. The person who buys your t-shirt is taking the time and effort to build their truck, get it to the show and be part of the thing. Mm-hmm. And those two things come together.
It's like we're all on a big team. You know what I mean? That's what it is, you know, and even Panda's part of that team.
Oh,
you
for
know
sure.
What I mean, and like the people that take their time out for all this stuff, it's just, it's all it is, you know, it's just like a band, like music, mm-hmm. you know, when you go and you buy a shirt, a band t-shirt, cause you want to support them. You want to be involved in it, mm-hmm. you know, and it's and then there's also we've talked about this before, but actually making cool looking merch.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't like do all this stuff and then expect people to buy crap. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Well, and that's the effort. That's the effort that we put into our end of it. You know. So like you said, it's a collective thing.
Yeah, and you are not building trucks, right? Mm-hmm. But you're in the same space, so it's why like taking your 4Runner to stuff every once mm-hmm. in a while, you know, like taking the effort to give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
like
for sure,
taking your 4Runner to Chubb Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we'll talk about that next. Well, okay. So I told you I had two questions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my first question, we already answered. The second question is, you took that truck to Chubb's last year as it was in that moment, and that's the first time you had taken to that truck to a show. When was the last running, driving you drove it to a show?
Ooh.
That's a good question. Is it Rezo 03?
What? I don't even remember what Rezo 03 was.
It was Lake Dolores. That was the year that I think, to me, like in my small window of being in the scene, that was like the peak when it had was 03 was Lake Dolores, and you had Last Look there. You had Time Machine. Truck. You had Ernie's truck who just got done. I mean, there were just so many iconic trucks there that we didn't realize at the time, but they were.
So there was two Lake Dolores Rezos, and I think mm-hmm. that was the first Lake Dolores Rezo. I think my truck went to the next Lake Dolores Rezo.
Maybe.
I think. I don't know. But yeah, no, I don't know when the actual last show that I took that. Oh, running and driving.
Yeah. Yeah. Running, driving. You drove there.
I don't know. Cause the last show I took it to when it was red was Ludacris and I just trailered it there.
Well, no, that was when it was red and cream, cream. Yeah.
Yeah. No bed. I didn't have the bed on it. I just took it there so we could get Lois Club. Nice. I don't know. I don't remember.
It had to have been early 2000s. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That like, that's going to, you're talking a lot about like achieving these goals, getting to that finish line. I think that's going to be one of them.
Well, I think that's mentally, I know that. I think way in the back of my mind, and that's what's pushing me to actually get it done. Because once it's done driving and I drive it to a show or on a trailer or at a show, whatever, I can go, this is what I meant to do a long time ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be really curious as to the feeling I have when it's done. Yeah, and I successfully get it to that show and I go, do I even like this truck?
And that's, you know what? And it's shocking because you said you were talking to Carl about that.
Yeah.
And Carl's great. We love Carl and he hypes us up and he hypes you up and he's really hyped on your truck. PS, he's building his truck at Panda, you know, Panda's doing it. So he's like really hyped. And then I remember, I don't want to put anything on blast, but like he was kind of taken back when you said that, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is. It is a kind of like a, like for all of us following along and this whole journey, it is like really? But that's a valid, like real feeling. Like you don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I really like driving the Maverick around. That it makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just because everything works and it's cool and all that stuff. So, but like, it's not that I'm going to get the Tacoma done and go, I'm done with trucks totally.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a very curious thing on that particular truck. Oh, yeah. It's such a long history and you've invested so much time, effort, emotion, everything in that thing.
I'm going to like the way it looks.
Oh yeah. It's sick.
Am I going to get in it, turn it on and go, I love driving this thing.
We don't know. You could.
I don't know. I want to know how many people actually I want to know if there's people out there that thoroughly hate driving their trucks. But
they're out there. I bet you.
I know they're out there. I know people like this. They get in the truck at Maggie Valley and they drive up and down the road and they're just like, yes, they're not going to get in that truck and like go to the grocery store.
Right.
I know someone that recently bought a car of their dreams. Right. And they want to run out and drive it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone that owns a mini truck? Now I know that. Yes, there are.
Ben.
Ben. Yeah, yeah. Ben. But like, is there anyone out there that hates driving? You could just message me like low key.
Like low key.
I'm not going to put you on blast, but yeah.
Satisfy. You'll tell me. So he's going to tell me too. So
yeah,
it's not that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slide into our DMs and let us know.
Yeah. We won't say it. Curious. We will not say it publicly, no. I just want, cause I have the OBS on the side of the house and it's a bigger truck and it's going to have, I'm going to be able to put a stereo in it, like some bass in it. And, am I going to enjoy driving that over the Tacoma? I don't know.
You posted a link in the group to where you got that little thing you put on the door striker and it helps you stand up.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of need that.
Yeah, I know. I thought of you when I saw it.
I think the same thing. Sometimes I'll be driving the 4Runner and park it and get out and I'm like, and then I'm like, if I had a full size, I could just stand
out of it like a normal person.
Like a normal person. Yeah. But here I am.
Yeah.
A foot off the ground.
And what I'm talking about is there's this thing, the what's that? The door striker, is that what it's called? Like the thing that your door latches to on your A pillar or whatever, or B pillar of your vehicle. Mm-hmm. And it's that metal thing. And there, people sell steps for that. You could put a thing on it and step and go onto your roof.
I've seen that, yeah.
Because they're very stout. Well, there's this little handle and you click it on that and it helps you push yourself up and out of your vehicle.
Not going to lie, that'd be so nice to have.
You're all not going to lie? Bought one. No.
No, I'm going to probably.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually not a bad idea.
No, it's a really good idea, especially for, again, just how low these trucks are. We're not 25 years old.
Jose lay his Toyota out, his door chopped, and he would roll. Him and I have video of him and Chupas rolling out of the truck.
That's funny.
Because they're both tall.
He would be a good guy to ask, well, he doesn't have the truck anymore.
He did not genuinely, no, he didn't.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I rode around a few times in that thing. I could be like, I don't. He once told me, I mean, this was when he was younger too. So like, he's like, I could do like maybe 2 hours max in this thing.
I think it was 2 hours max.
And I think it's a lot less now. If he still had the truck, I would imagine it'd be less.
Oh,
now.
It'd be less. Yeah. It gets less as you get
15
older.
15 minutes.
But I think that's what like you have to enjoy what you're driving. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's really why I wanted to get that Rivian. Mm-hmm. Cause when I drove that thing, I was like, I want to go out and drive. Like, that's what a vehicle's for, right? You want to go out and you want to drive it.
The driving experience.
Yeah. And a lot of us just go out and we show these things. Like, we're showing them off.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. Yeah, People do that. It's a form of art. It's a form of expression. Mm-hmm. We're expressing ourselves.
Yeah.
But there's also the I enjoy driving. So that's why I'm so excited to do that Nissan project. I want a hard body. I want to make it fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, or LS swap something, like, I don't know. I want something fast.
There's all these ideas.
I want to enjoy driving the truck. I want to be like, run out and be like, yeah, I want to drive to the grocery store. Yeah, I want to drive around the corner. Yeah, I want to go up in the hills. You know, and carve around. So
yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about is this is Monday, next weekend. So we have one more episode before that, but Data Remember.
Yep.
That show's coming up November 9th. The pre-reg is closed. So the pre-reg is closed, but you can still register the day of the show. The only thing is they, if you want to park there on Friday night, you have to be pre-regged.
Yeah.
So if you're not pre-regged, I'm sorry, you can't park Friday. So you have to roll in Saturday morning. But yeah, that's coming up super fast. I got one
we got to talk about. We haven't talked about enough.
Okay.
The Kalakas show.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the SoCal show.
Mm-hmm. And that is, so it goes, Data Remember, Dino's,
yep,
Kalakas.
There's a severe lack of West Coast mini truck stuff. Southern California. Mini truck stuff. So we need to get out and go to this show.
What's the details? What's the exact date?
November 16th, and it's in, nope, that's Dino's, my bad. It is November 23rd, and it's in Corona, California, and I will post a flyer right here. I'll remember to post it. In fact, I'm going to, we're at 105.
Write that down.
I'm going to 105, post the flyer of Kalakas. If you are in Southern California, Phoenix, and you want to go to a show, it's a good time.
Yeah,
it's in Corona. It's 45 minutes from the beach, so you could go, and then you can hang out at the beach later. You can do all kinds of stuff, but yeah, it's a cool show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely going to be hitting that one up. I will 100% take the 4Runner to that. Mm-hmm. Chubbs is still on the fence. It actually, like, things are kind of lining up to where that might happen because, strangely enough, my kids want to go to that show.
Oh.
So it'd be cool to, if Angie and the kids drove the 4Runner out and then I, you know, pulled the booth and stuff.
Yeah.
So working out those little details.
Yeah.
I had a little idea.
Oh yeah.
I'm just throwing this out there. This is like a post pod. We're bringing the people into the post pod a little bit. And so I'm thinking, cause I'm going to come out to Dino's. I'm bringing a few things, but I'm not bringing a lot of things that can go in the bed of the truck. What about if it's available, bring the trailer back and then tow the 4Runner out to Severed.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, from Dino's.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a better idea.
Okay.
We could start this at Chubb's.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you want to take to Dino's, if it's ready, throw it in my trailer. I'll bring it back here.
Mm-hmm.
Which that doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Never mind.
I don't know.
You're talking about taking the car trailer from here.
Yes.
Back home.
Yep.
And then bringing your 4Runner out for Dino's.
No, for Severed.
And then taking it back.
Yeah. The only other thing you'd have to figure out is getting the trailer back out there.
I'm coming out for the Christmas party the weekend after Severed.
Oh. Well,
I could tow it back.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. If you want to bring the Titan.
I could tow it with the Maverick.
Yeah. Oh. Well, all this is coming together.
It's all coming together.
We'll discuss it some more. That was a total raw thing. I just actually had that thought this morning. So
yeah,
total raw thought.
And you guys get to listen to our rants about whatever.
Yeah. No, but that was good. Yeah, those are the only things I have to talk about. Next week SEMA is gonna, so that's not next week. The following episode will come out SEMA week. Maybe we'll do a little SEMA episode, talk about different SEMA stuff.
Yeah, and we have a lot of questions. Not a lot, but two really good questions that can probably take up a good portion of an episode. Okay, that we can talk about next week.
Next week, yeah.
So Danny and Cody Lloyd, you both asked really good questions. One was about leaning on trucks, and one was about different types of show registrations.
Oh, I read the leaning on trucks one, but I'll read the show registration one.
Yeah, basically our opinions on different style, you know, first come, first serve, approval process. We have a lot of behind the scenes knowledge and that stuff. So if anyone has any input on those two things, leaning on trucks, kids leaning on trucks, and show registrations, slide into the drop DMs.
Yeah.
And we can
drop
talk,
a thought.
Drop a thought.
Oh, hey, I like that. Drop a thought.
Oh, last but not least.
Uh-huh.
I got hats, new hats.
Oh, those are cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got these.
I like those. That's a rubber patch, right?
It's a sewn-on rubber patch, so it's not glued on. It's sewn on.
Yeah, I like it.
I got stickers.
Oh, dude. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
Those.
Yeah.
Those.
Nice.
Those.
Like it.
And then these. So I'm going to put these in sticker packs for Dino's because it's all C10 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of these. So, yeah, I'm trying to get on my game here. I'm trying to be proactive and not wait till the last minute.
We're trying to be better, damn it.
So I told Doug, I said, I gave him the sticker list. He goes, that's a lot of stickers. I go, yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
Big old box of them here. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
That reminds me, I got to get with Doug. So,
yes.
I'll write that down. Doug. All right, cool. All right. Websites.
Oh, we'll have a giveaway soon from Alan Eds.
Oh, cool.
Oh. I just dropped my phone. Yeah, Alan Eds. We'll have some audio stuff to give away soon.
Awesome. Yeah, well, we'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
All right. Later.